Bibles this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We've been in a series called Back to the Basics, or Back to Basics. You remember Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, they asked him what was the greatest commandment. And he said, you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one's like it. You love your neighbor as yourselves. And we've already said that all of the commandments, you can really boil them down to one word. You all remember what that word was? Love. Love. And we saw that God demands our undivided attention. He said, I am the Lord your God. And he means it. So we also saw that God demands our undivided affection. I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, he says. I'm the one that took you out of the house of slavery. Thank you, babe. Ooh, it's warm too. All right. And then last week we saw that God demands my undivided allegiance. And we started with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Now remember, these are not arbitrary rules. Really, they're family laws. These are things that God gave to his family, the nation of Israel. And remember last week we talked about who is the nation of Israel. Are we part of the nation of Israel? We are by adoption, aren't we? If we are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the promises to the nation of Israel are also promises for us as children. Adopted children, yes, but still children. You ever read about an adoption? We adopted a little baby, 6 months old. This is a lot of years ago now. I mean, we didn't do it yesterday. But what I realized when I read the law is that an adopted child has all of the rights, all of the privileges of a naturally born child to parents. In fact, they are by law in the family. See, when you're born naturally into the family, there's no law that says you're in the family. But when you're adopted, there's a law that says you belong to your mom and dad. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it is with the nation of Israel. That's what it is with us. So they could teach these laws to their families, build their homes so that they would be safe and secure. That's what these were given for. So stand with me if you would. We're going to read Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. I'll read if you follow along. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath, in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For the Lord your God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Father, thank you for your word, and pray that you would just minister to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated again. I don't know, maybe this comes as a surprise at you, but this command is repeated more than any other command in the Bible. In fact, the word idol or idolatry appears over 220 times in the Scripture. There's more denunciation of idolatry than any other sin. And that's because for God, idolatry is public enemy number one. And the reason is simple. Everybody worships something. Everyone worships some kind of God. And you say, well, maybe that something's not a God. If you're worshiping it, yes, it is. Everybody believes in some kind of deity, whether it's nature or whether it's science or the God of self. But none of them can properly represent God. After all, didn't Jesus say God was a spirit? And they that worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we, in our zeal to worship and honor God, sometimes we try to flatter God by producing images of him. In fact, when we sang Crown Him with Many Crowns, did you notice the pictures in there? A picture of God the Father reaching down, pointing this way. That's a man-made image of God. We don't do that. However, Almighty can't be limited. He just can't. You can't put him in wood. You can't put him on plastic. You can't paint him on a canvas. No matter what form it takes, It will always be inferior to the true and living God. In Psalm 115, listen to what David said. Our God is in heaven doing whatever he wants to do. This is from the Living Bible. Their gods are metal and wood, handmade in a basement shop. Carved mouths that can't talk, painted eyes that can't see, tin ears that can't hear, molded noses that can't smell, hands that can't grasp, and feet that can't walk or run, throats that never utter a sound. Those who make them have become just like them, have become just like the gods they trust. That's when they're talking about idols. Listen to Jeremiah. He said, an idol is nothing but a tree chopped down, then shaped by a woodsman's axe. They trim it with tinsel and balls, use hammers and nails to keep it upright. It's like a scarecrow in a cabbage patch. It can't talk. Dead wood that has been used to carry. It can't walk. Don't be impressed by such stuff. You see, the second commandment is the only commandment where God says, if you break it, he hates you. Boy, that's strong stuff, isn't it? Let me say that again. God says, if you break the second commandment, I hate you as a result. See, when you attempt to worship the true God in the wrong way, then you hate God according to this commandment. So many people today believe that the Ten Commandments are based on random choice and personal whim. They're really not anything that we ought to be concerned with. Oh, come on, Pastor. They were for a different time. They really don't make any sense today, do they? Well, you know what? There's so many laws on the books today that make absolutely no sense. In fact, they're unbelievable. In Baltimore, for instance, it's illegal to take a lion to the movies. It's on the books. In Massachusetts, it's illegal to wear stilts while working on a construction site. Make sure of that, all right? In Detroit, it's illegal to tie an alligator to a fire hydrant. I'm just saying, folks. In Maui County, Hawaii, children must be 12 years old to play on a busy highway. What? And finally, in Texas, windshield wipers are required even if you don't have a windshield. So, I mean, those are some. And I sat there and just tears coming out of my eyes reading some of these crazy laws that are still on the books. They're still legal. And so if you go to Baltimore, don't bring your lion. Don't tie him up, all right? Especially if you're going to the movies. That's against the law. But you know what? God's laws are not useless. They're not temporary. They're universal. They're permanent. They're for all time, and they're for all people. It hasn't changed. In fact, 1,800 years after this command was given in Exodus, the Apostle John said, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Guard yourself. Now, the first and second commandments sound very similar. In fact, our Catholic friends don't even have this as their second commandment. Their second commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. All right? And then they take the covet and they break it into a couple. They still have Ten Commandments. They just, the second commandment that we use as a second commandment is not even considered there. But they really are different. The first commandment tells us who we're supposed to worship. The second commandment tells us how we're supposed to worship. It's a subtle difference, but it is a difference. The first commandment tells us never to worship the wrong God at any time in any way. The second commandment says we're never to worship the true God in the wrong way. Difference. See, the single greatest issue for us today is found in these two questions. Will we worship the true God? And secondly, will we worship the true God the right way? The right way. Or if we put it another way, will we worship a God that we create, or will we worship the God that created us? So let me give you some points here. Number one, a created God limits real worship. A created God limits real worship. In verses 4 and 5, you'll not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what's in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. Now, folks, understand what idolatry is. It is an attempt to represent the supernatural God in a natural way, to represent a spiritual God in a material way. The problem is, to worship God as in an image or an idol, be like having a picture of your family and loving the picture more than you love your family. And since Israel already knew that there was only one true God, some would say, why even have that command? Well, if you read in Exodus 32, before Moses even came down off the mountain with his conference from God and God explaining to him all of the Ten Commandments and all of the ramifications of the Ten Commandments, the nation of Israel decided they had been waiting long enough, and so they built a golden calf, began to worship the golden calf. It's amazing. Israel broke the first two commandments before they even knew that there were two commandments. I mean, they were just, boom. You know why they made the golden calf? Because they needed a visible image. That was a hangover from Egypt, where they had been worshiping, and you know, Egypt had thousands of gods, and they worshiped all kinds of gods. See, Israel was saying, we've got to have something that we can see, something that we can touch. See, it takes a lot less faith in a little God that you can see than it does in the God that we can't see. And the real problem with idols is because idols do two things. Number one, an idol limits our faith in God, and it also limits the God of our faith. Both of those things. That's why God was so thorough in what he said. You don't have an idol. You don't have an image. Not in heavens above and the earth below the earth. You just don't want to have any of it. That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? I mean, that's everywhere you can look. Nothing in the sky, nothing on the ground, nothing in the sea is ever to be worshipped. Now today, the idols that we worship are not the ones that we make with our hands so much. They're the ones we make with our hearts, with our hearts. They're not primarily metal, they're primarily mental. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 14. Therefore, warn them that the Lord God says, repent and destroy your idols. Stop worshiping them in your heart. I, the Lord, will personally punish everyone, whether the people of Israel or the foreigners living among you, who rejects me for idols and then comes to a prophet to ask for my help and advice. Wow. Ezekiel was talking about idols of the heart. Idols of the heart. So many people worship a God the way they want God to do, things that they want God to be, rather than the way God really is and who he really is. You see, the problem with idolatry is that we elevate what we like about God and we eliminate what we don't like about God. So let me give you some idols that people worship today. Here's number one, the man upstairs God. How many times have we heard that? The man upstairs. And basically what they're saying is, he's just a man like us. He just lives on the second floor. You know, that's about all you can take from that. And then there's the Santa Claus God. Does anybody not know the Santa Claus God? I mean, come on. That's the God who gives you everything you want if you're good, right? He's just the heavenly ATM machine. And we ought to expect prosperity and blessings and all the rest of these things. We need a Mercedes-Benz or a Rolex watch. We just call on God. Did you see, those of you that follow on Facebook, Ken, he's on TV. He's just praising the Lord that God gave him a brand new jet plane.
Ken Copeland.
Oh, just thank you, Lord, and all these little people that gave all this money so I could have a jet plane. Something wrong there, folks. Something wrong. That's the Santa Claus God. Then there's the doctor God. The doctor God. That's a God who always wants us to be healed. He always wants us to be well. He never, ever would allow us to be sick. And if you are sick and you stay sick, it's not God's problem. It's your problem. Santa, or doctor God. Here's one more. The lovey-dovey God. He would never allow anyone to go to hell. Doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus or not. Doesn't matter whether you obey God or not. In the end, He's going to take everybody to heaven. Talked with a lady 3 weeks ago who basically said that very thing. We were talking about how much we had in common, and we were talking about the different doctrines, and then she says it, and I'm so glad that at the end everybody's going to heaven. And we were in this kind of a situation, so I didn't have a lot of time to sit down with her and try to explain to her, no, that's not true. Jesus said if you don't believe in God, then you're already condemned. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. It's not that you will be, you already are. That's scary stuff, folks. That ought to shake us to our core to know that people all around us, in your family maybe, who really don't believe any of this stuff, and yet they believe they're going to be okay in the end. Folks, they're not going to be okay in the end. They're not. See, the problem with all of these gods is that there is nothing you can compare God with. I heard about a little boy, first grade. He was in his class and he was drawing a picture. And the teacher came up to him and said, honey, what kind of picture are you drawing? He says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher just kind of said, now, son, we don't know what God looks like, so how could you draw a picture? And the little boy looked up and says, they will when I get through. How many of you have ever seen Mount Everest? Been to Mount Everest? Anybody here been to Mount Everest? It is the most magnificent, wonderful, exhilarating, fantastic place you could think of. So there it is. Isn't it gorgeous? Can you just feel? Can you feel it? It's cold in here, isn't it? Isn't that majestic? Isn't that wonderful? I'm being really stupid here. You cannot possibly know the majesty of Mount Everest until you're standing there looking at it. You cannot do it. I love the Lord. And I worship the Lord. I trust you all are the same way. But we need to be very careful that we don't put things that we are going to worship in front of Him. See, that's the problem with idols. An idol makes the infinite God finite. It makes the invisible God visible. Visible. The eternal God temporal. The heavenly God earthly. And the spiritual God material. So that's why created God limits real worship. Secondly, a created God leads to false worship. Leads to false worship. See, there are only two kind of gods you can worship. Either you worship the God who made you, or you worship some little God that you made up yourself. You can either worship the Creator God or a created God. One of the two. Prophet Jeremiah said, are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Or can the heavens grant showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we hope in you, for you are the one who has done all of these things. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Why waste time worshiping a created God when you can worship the real God? You can worship the real thing. So I guess the question is, do you have an idol? Do you? Well, if you're not sure if you've got one, you got to answer these two questions. First one is this: who do you love the most? Who do you love the most? Read about a wife who was had it up to here with her husband because every Saturday and every Sunday, he would park himself in front of the TV set and watch football. Every Saturday, every Sunday. And he would completely ignore his wife. So one Sunday, she came up, stomped in front of the TV set, put her hands like this and said, all right, listen. I want to know right now, which do you love more, me or football? And the guy just kind of sat there and he thought for a minute. Honey, I love you more than hockey. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Who do you love the most? And secondly, Well, let me expand on that a little more. Some people love food more than they love anything else. I used to be there. But Paul speaks about people whose God is their belly, and all they think about is food. Some people love fun more than anything else, and that's what Paul told Timothy. They were lovers of pleasure and not lovers of God. Some people like money. Well, we all like money. I mean, come on. But some people are just overwhelmed. Listen to Job. He said, "If I have put my confidence in gold and called fine gold my trust, that too would have been an iniquity calling for judgment, for I would have denied God above." See, some people park their idols in their garage, and some people dock their idols at the marina, and some people put their idols in safety deposit boxes. Some people worship fitness. Their God is their bod. Oh, excuse me. They may not go to church, but you know what? They'd never miss a workout. Never miss a workout. They pop the vitamins. They pump the iron. They have plastic surgeries. Now, let me stop there. What I'm not, there's nothing wrong with a nice car. All right. There's nothing wrong with a boat. There's nothing wrong with exercise or any of the other things that I was just talking about, unless they become an idol. Some people worship their family. Wait a minute, Pastor, you're starting to meddle now. Yeah, some people do. And in fact, I've heard people say, "You know, I put my family first." You better not put your family first. You better put God first. Then comes your family. All right? God's got to be first. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That's some really stiff words, isn't it? You can nod your heads. We all think that's some stiff words there. People are worshiping fame. We have American Idol. How many of you watch American Idol? Okay. The Voice. You know, anybody watch The Voice? Okay. America's Got Talent. Or England's Got Talent. Or they're just all kinds of these things. See, the problem in America today is we got so many idols. All these different things that draw us and pull us. So what do you love the most? Here's the second question. What do you trust the most? What is it that you trust? Where do you place your security? Is it your job? Is it your pension? Your 401k? Is it medicine? Goodness, I hope it's not the government. Science? Your bank account? You know how to tell if you're an idolater or not? Two things. Your checkbook and your calendar. Your checkbook and your calendar. How do you spend your time? And how do you spend your treasure? Where does it go? Who gets the most? What's number one? That's the way to tell if you're worshiping an idol. So we have a created God limits your worship. A created God leads to false worship. And number three, the creator God liberates true worship. The creator God liberates true worship. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, he says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? God himself said, "I am a jealous God." And that word means to burn or to bubble over. That's the kind he's talking about. He burns with jealousy. Listen, nothing provokes the jealousy of God and the anger of God like idolatry. In Deuteronomy 32, 21, the Lord himself said, "They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols." Man, let me tell you why God is so jealous. It's because God has a monopoly on being God. It's because he has the exclusive copyright. He has the eternal patent. He can't share his files with anybody else. In fact, he's cornered the market on being God. He's the only one. You see, no one ever has a right to be jealous about another person because you're not the only person on the earth. And no one has a right, or no preacher has a right to be jealous of any other preacher because there are other preachers around. And no athlete or musician should ever be jealous of somebody else because there's others. But folks, God has the right to be jealous because there are no other gods. I'm it, he said. I'm it. That's why he's a jealous God. He's not jealous of himself. He's jealous for his children. He's like a good father who is jealous of his kids. He wants them to have the best education, the best care, to become the best people they can become. Don't you? Isn't that what you think for your children? Isn't that what you want for your children? That's why the second commandment comes with a curse. God says he'll punish to three or four generations those who hate me. Parents, the most important thing you can ever do for your family is to make sure that your family learns to worship the true God the right way. The right way. Think about how that sets you free when you worship the true God the right way. No longer do you have to worry about the approval of other people. The only person you need to worry about approval from is God, right? If he approves of you, who cares what anybody else thinks? When you worship the true God the right way, it frees you from your past. Because you're completely forgiven. You know, I go over this time and time and time again. How many sins did God forgive when Jesus died on the cross? How many of them did he forgive? All of them. All of your sins. We have someone that we talk with regularly who does not comprehend that. And my question has always been, how many sins had you committed when Jesus died on the cross? Not one. Unless there's a 2,200-year-old person in here. No sin had you committed when Jesus died for your sin. So that means he died for all of them. The ones you committed in the past, the ones you've committed today, and the ones you will commit in the future have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to worry about the approval of God. If your past is forgiven, you're free in the present. You have God's power to help you every single day. Do you ask God to guide you when you get up in the morning? Do you take time to ask the Lord to make sure that things are going the way he wants them to go and not giving him a laundry list of things you want to do? I must confess, there are times I'm guilty of that. I have my list. I have things that I need to do, and I present them to God and say, God, here, bless it. Well, he's under no obligation to do that. So you have to go to him and ask him what he wants of us. What am I supposed to be doing today, Lord? You say, well, will God answer you? You betcha. He sure will. Not only will he free us from the present, he frees us from the future. Future. We're going to live eternally with the Lord. Boy, if there was ever a time for an amen, that would have been right there. Amen. I mean, we're going to live forever with him. God is all about relationships. And we do not need images. And you know why? You know why we don't need an image? Because God has already revealed himself in an image. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Image. That word is the word icon. Jesus is the exact replication of God the Father. The complete image of God the Father. He wasn't made after the image of God. He wasn't made in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. I told Rochelle I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If God took a selfie of himself and put it on Instagram, you know who you'd see? Jesus. That's who you'd see. He is the express image of God. You don't have to settle for anything less than the real thing. That's why when you put God first and you worship the true God the right way, you get to know the real image of God by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of God. And you can secure your life and the life to come by trusting in the Lord Jesus. So many times we're guilty of manufacturing our little gods for ourselves. And we not necessarily have statues or idols or images or anything, but we've got habits and traditions and activities and people and possessions. They all can become your God. No one deserves your worship more than God Himself. No one. Let me put it another way. No one deserves your worship more than God Himself. So here's the question. Is He receiving the worship He deserves? Is God Almighty your only true God? Is He? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your commands. You have given so much to us. You have given us life. You have given us joy. But most importantly, You gave us the Lord Jesus. You personally stepped out of heaven, became a man, lived a life that was free from sin, died on that cross so that we could have life eternal. Thank You, Father, for that. Thank You for all You've done. And Lord, I pray if there's something that needs to be done in our lives today, as the Holy Spirit ministers to us this morning, I pray that You would speak to us individually. Lord, there may be things in our lives that ought not to be here, people that we ought to talk to, things that we ought to confess. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, I pray that we would be faithful to do what You've commanded us to do, what You say to us, because we love You, Lord, and we want You to guide us in every area of our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's